The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is Thursday today. Boy, the days are just flying by, aren't they? I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for 70 days to pass. I think there's 69 left. We're counting down the days to January 20th, of course, when Donald Trump will be escorted from the White House. That is, if he's still there. You know, a lot of people are thinking what's going to happen is he's going to come down here to Florida, to Mar-a-Lago for the holidays, and he'll just never go back. My prediction is Donald Trump will not partake in any of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris inaugural festivities because he's a sore loser, because he's a fucking baby.
I'm not a baby.
You're a baby. He's throwing a temper tantrum, except he's a 74-year-old man who, for some inexplicable reason, was elected president of the United States 4 years ago. And he treats the entire thing like it's a game, like it's his own personal contest. And now he knows he's a loser. I got to hand it to whoever did it. Volume again? Really? All right. Crackly audio. I could have sworn I fixed it. All right. I'm going to have a lot of testing to do this weekend. All right, YouTube chatters, let me know if it's better. I really, this is so weird, because I spent like an hour. What's the name of that 70s type song I play for the beginning of the show? Are you talking about the pre-show music, Errol Thomas? This? Or are you talking about the bed that's under Boca Brittany's intro? Sounds good now? Good. Let me know. The music that plays before the show begins is a piece of music from an artist named Lily Hayden, who was on the show a couple of months back on Music Monday Music, and it's a piece of music that she has not released yet, or ever, I don't know. She just gave me a bunch of different beds that I could use for a theme for music for the show. So if that's what you're talking about. If you're talking about the music that's under Boca during the this part, during this, here. That?
She's got the news.
If that's what you're asking about, and it does sound sort of 70s, that's just production music. Because the last intro that Boca made for me, we got copyright violated on for the music that she used. So go figure. I can't win for losing. Anyway, I digress. This is what happens when I look at the chat room when I should be talking, because I was making a point. And the point is that Donald Trump is a spoiled brat. He's like a six-year-old who doesn't want to leave Chuck E. Cheese. So he kicks and screams and throws a temper tantrum. Yeah, that's Donald Trump. And I think the inaugural of the Biden-Harris ticket will be so much better without the presence of Dump. Speaking of Dump, you know, I came up with this after Donald Trump was elected. We're going back 4 years now. I didn't want to say his name. And that was the whole thing. Remember, they said, don't say his name. Call him 45 or call him something else. So I thought the name is Donald Trump. Let's shorten it, because who wants to use up three syllables when you can use one? And I thought I'd make a contraction of the D from Donald and the ump from Trump and make a D apostrophe UMP. And I'm the only one who used it. No one else seemed to care. But watching John Oliver the other night, who still does, I think, probably the best show on television, I think John Oliver appreciates the big dump, because he ran this on the show the other night. Oop, would help if I turned the pot up. Here we go.
And now this.
And now, at the end of a long, exhausting week, dumps.
Chris, there's been no sort of hiccups, so to speak. So we're just waiting for that big dump that's happening right now.
We are due to get what should be a pretty big dump.
We got a dump, Laura, at 9 o'clock East Coast time.
We expect another deposit dump, if you will.
So yep. Far, the first dump here looks pretty good.
Two dumps today.
I think that you will see a big dump today.
And you'll see a big dump of that early in the evening.
It's been a little slower than we anticipated. Yeah. We thought there'd be a bigger dump.
We should point out, though, it's not going to be one sort of dump right at 11:59.
Steve Kornacki's over there waiting for a big dump.
I got good news for you. About 9:30, we're going to get a big dump in the Philly area.
Oh.
I was told we were going to get this one giant dump of Milwaukee. That big dump in Milwaukee, that's going to be a huge dump. By the way, they did the big dump. I told you, that's what they do.
Donald Trump got a little benefit out of that last dump.
I'm sorry. I know it's juvenile, but, you know, every once in a while, you just got to laugh and embrace your inner child. And I'll laugh a whole lot more once we're rid of the big dump in the White House. All right. Let's see. What else is going on? There's a lot of news, I suppose. Maybe we should just get to the news today, huh? Of course, today is Thursday. So that means Howie Klein will be along for the second half of the show. And we're going to go over what the hell happened. Because the question is, what the hell happened? This is so weird. You know, obviously, we beat Donald Trump. He lost the popular vote by more than 5 million votes. That's a lot. The numbers of the amount of people who turned out, though, is astounding. We broke every record imaginable. Let me see if I can pull up these numbers because they are stunning. Let me find it. I did have them all here. Now I can't find. You know what? I'm just going to go through my whole thing. Here's the deal. If the last state that the big decision desks have not yet called is Georgia. It all comes down to Georgia. And I just posted a playlist, actually, on Twitter and Facebook. I would love to do a music show in which I play a bunch of great songs about Georgia. There are so many great Georgia songs. I could easily fill an hour. But if I did it here, I'd get copyright violated again, and we don't want that to happen. So, you know, maybe I'll do just a bonus audio radio show one of these days and not put it up on YouTube. But in the meantime, because we need music to vote by and to call Georgia by and to convince everybody we know in Georgia that they have to get out and vote for John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock so that the Senate will be tied 50-50. Kamala Harris would get the tiebreaker vote, so the Democrats would essentially take back control of the Senate. It's our only chance of getting anything done. And even then, it's still going to be an uphill climb because, well, we have Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's got a D next to his name, and tends not to vote with the Democrats on anything. And then we've got some others like Kyrsten Sinema and others who I'd rather see not in the Senate. However, we need those D's to maintain or to get back majority in the Senate so that Joe Biden can get some stuff done, the things that we desperately need. Now, he'll do some things by executive order. He already said day one, he's going to reverse Trump's executive orders that pulled us out of the Paris climate accord and things like that. So, yep. Ray Charles, Georgia on My Mind is on the list. I mean, I can run down the list of songs that I put together. In fact, that's the very first in my playlist. Or I could play like 20 seconds or 10 seconds of each song. I could do something like this. Here, we'll do a... Okay, so this is Ray Charles, Georgia. You don't want me to sing. And then, you know, then we take the midnight train to Georgia, right? And then we do a little Boz Scaggs, Georgia, won't you stay together, dear, or something like that. Georgia, right, Boz Scaggs. And then John Mayer, we'll take a little break, Why Georgia, from John Mayer. Then one of the best live albums of all time is Little Feat's Waiting for Columbus. and they do just a rocking rendition of Oh, Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't sing. I'm waiting until they get the beginning piano riff in there. Oops, gotta go because they're going to copyright violate me. Then there's Nancy Griffith, who back in the early 90s did this song, Going Back to Georgia. It's a duet with Adam Duritz of Counting Crows. It's a really good song. Then we can go to Brooke Benton, because we need a little bit of soul for a rainy night in Georgia. And then Loggins and Messina. The very first album I ever bought was Sitting In, and this is Back to Georgia. Great song, right? Well, Ophelia, I Got a Heavy Load. All right. And then we'll end it with the Indigo Girls, because they are from Georgia, and their rendition of Midnight Train to Georgia. So if you want the playlist, I have it on Spotify. I tweeted it out. I Facebooked it out. I will post the playlist on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/11-12-20, which is today's date. And Spotify lets you embed the playlist. So if you're going to be writing postcards or you know, doing phone banking to get the vote out on January 5th or in the early voting period beforehand, that's your playlist. That's your music to convince Georgia to vote by. So it's just a little something I did in my spare time today. All right. Yeah, there's such great songs there, right? And I could probably keep going, but I threw it together very quickly. All right. How about we get to a little bit of news, because there's a lot going on. So let's do this. Oh, the music is still playing on that midnight train to Georgia. Hold on. I gotta pause you, Indigo Girls, in order to play this. All right, I digress sometimes. You know, I go off into this musical tangent. I probably should have waited on that for Howie Klein, because, you know, he's a music guy, too. Anyway, let's start with the news. And the news is, well, you know, it's a good thing we're getting a new administration in, because you know what the current White House chief of staff said about the pandemic that is currently raging? It's the worst time right now that we've ever had since it began. But Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff, actually said,
we're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigation.
Why aren't we going to get control of the pandemic?
Because it is a contagious virus, just like the flu.
Yeah, but why not make efforts to contain it?
Thank you, Jake.
Well, we are making efforts to contain it.
By running all over the country, not wearing a mask?
Jake,
that's what the vice president's doing.
We can get into back and forth. Let me just say this.
No, I'm not going to let you say anything, Mark Meadows, because you're a moron. Idiot. Your whole administration is made up of morons. The United States of America yesterday reported 145,835 new cases of coronavirus. Another day, another record broken. Hospitalizations have also hit a record. The U.S. now has had more than 10.3 million total infections, and over 240,000 Americans have died since February. The country also saw our highest daily death toll since early May. More people are hospitalized with COVID-19 this week than at any point so far in the pandemic. Hospitals are running out of beds and running out of healthcare workers. It's really astounding. The situation is particularly bad in the Midwest and the Sun Belt and the Navajo Nation and in El Paso, Texas. They're also being hit hard. So it's probably a good time to listen to the guidance from the CDC, who now tells us not only will a mask protect other people from your droplets, but wearing a mask can protect you as well. Because they keep learning more. You know, you listen to a dump over there, and what's so frustrating is, you know, he keeps going back to, well, Fauci at the beginning said don't wear a mask. This is the thing that Trump doesn't understand about scientists, as they learn more, in this case, about a novel virus, a brand new virus that didn't exist before. As they learn more about it, they learn how to deal with it. At the beginning, they were telling us not to wear masks because we had such a severe shortage of PPE, the personal protective equipment, that they didn't want us civilians to take those N95 masks that, doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals needed. But let me share this with you. You've heard my friend Sue. She's on Twitter at Twin Mom Sue. She sent me another message, and oh my God, let me see if I can't find. Oh, hold on, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Okay, so she sent me a private message today, and it's heartbreaking. She runs the pharmacy. She's the pharmacist in a small rural hospital in Illinois. Okay, so it's a small hospital. She's worried. She was concerned about Medicare for All because the reimbursement rates were so low. This is before the pandemic hit. Now she's scared for her life. And she sent me this message today, and I can't even imagine what she's going through. She said, Illinois has been over 10,000 new cases per day for almost 2 weeks. Since Saturday, 8 coworkers have tested positive, and a handful of others are quarantining at home because a household contact is positive. Today, a patient with symptoms got past the front door screener and tested positive in the ER instead of being diverted to the COVID room, so we need to do a deep cleaning of the ER before we can take another patient. Administration is looking at revising our policies to allow staff to work even if exposed, as long as they don't have symptoms, because we are so short of staff. Are you hearing this? One of the 5 people I share an office with called in sick today with a fever after she attended a wedding last weekend. I could just cry. Sue, I could just cry too. This is astounding. And then she said, the entire respiratory therapy department at the hospital just across the river in Iowa is out sick. And they just told us in our morning meeting that one of them died last night. She was only 65. And yet, we have 72 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump, the man who has lied his ass off, not to be confused with Ossoff, which is a good thing. Since he took office, since before he's lied since the day he was born, probably. But the only thing I care about is how he talks to us when he's president of the United States. And as he told Bob Woodward, and we heard it because we heard the recordings, he knew how dangerous this was and he wanted to play it down so as not to cause a panic. Really? Donald Trump, I promise you, most of America has more brains than you do, has a higher IQ than you do, had better college grades than you did. I'm just trying to put it in his terms, the things he gives a shit about. You know, we want the truth. We want to know what's going on so we can make our own choices on how to protect ourselves. But instead, you, Trump, have been lying to the American people, and all these fucking lemmings who voted for you believe you. They think it's no big deal. You'll get sick, you get better. Except for the over 240,000 Americans who've already died. And they're telling us that at the rate we're going, we're breaking all records, at the rate we're going, by the time the new year comes around, by the time the inauguration comes around the end of January, we're going to have over 500,000 Americans dead. And Mark Meadows says,
we're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we...
Shut up. That's all you needed to say. We're not going to control the pandemic. That's not okay. So it's back to restrictions in New York, where they'll impose a 10 p.m. curfew for most bars and restaurants. They'll limit private gatherings to 10 people to fight infections and hospitalizations. Gyms are going to close at 10 p.m. I don't know what 10 p.m. does. I think you need a lockdown order Sorry, I know it's unpopular, but that's what they're doing in Illinois, or is it just in Chicago? Mayor Lori, the mayor of Chicago just issued a new lockdown order for 30 days. I can't find the email now, but it just came across. So this, here we go again. And let me tell you one other thing. Thanksgiving is coming up. Do the Zoom Thanksgiving. Cook at your house. Have all your family members do prepare their meal. Get a laptop or an iPad or something, and everyone get on Zoom, and you bring the iPad or the laptop in the middle of the dining room table, and you have Thanksgiving together like that. I don't know what date Thanksgiving is this year, but, you know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and for good reason. All right, this year Thanksgiving is the 26th. Well, the 23rd of November was Thanksgiving 20 years ago. Yeah, 2000. Thanksgiving in the year 2000 was on November 23rd. And the way I know that is because I was in a courtroom in the tiny village of Karakastek, Kazakhstan, adopting my daughter. And when I spoke to the judge and he said, why do you want to adopt this child? And I went through my whole thing and I started crying when I told him today is the American holiday of Thanksgiving. And this would make me the happiest woman alive. I'm so grateful, blah, 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 blah. And Thanksgiving is our forever day. So it's a special, and it's 20 years this year. And I will not be able to spend it with my kid because she moved out last month. Because she needs to live her life. And I can't. Because as a 61-year-old lung cancer survivor, I don't feel confident going out because this infection is running rampant. It's everywhere. And it's only going to get worse before it gets better. There's no end in sight. I would ask if Donald Trump is still saying, hey, what was he saying? Went on a roll and I lost my train of thought. I do that a lot. I think it's all the weed. You know, he says, oh, you know, it's like the flu. It goes away. It doesn't go away. Oh, and he says, we're rounding the corner. We haven't rounded any corner except to make a U-turn and get right back to where we were at the beginning and only worse. So here we are. I have a feeling we're basically on our own until Biden and Harris take over. And in some ways, that maybe is a good thing, because I really don't want Trump doing anything, but he is. He's firing the members of his defense department. And the worry is, among everyone, that he's going to fire his CIA director. Now, I'm not a great fan of Gina Haspel, but the president, the lame duck, Donald Duck, president, should not be firing his security team, his intelligence staff, his, you know, anybody. What he doesn't have a future. He's waning down. He should be wrapping up business, not starting new things. And what I hear today is that he's kind of coming around to understanding that he has no path to reelection, that it's all a fool's errand, if you will. And he is the fool. But I don't know. I go between thinking that he'll leave and just fade off into the sunset to saying, please just let him go to Mar-a-Lago and stay there. Please. All right, we're taking a break for Progressive Voices. Let me share with you something. There's this is this it? This is, I should wait till, oh, I'll play it now. I was going to wait for Progressive Voices to come back, but I don't know that they have time. So I had prepared a whole thing, and of course I went off on a tangent and left all my prepared stuff behind. But we, you know, people who watch Fox or now Newsmax, who listen to Trump, who listen to the lies and buy into the bullshit, have been screaming, it's fraud. You know, Trump's got all these cases going and you need to pay attention. And I haven't, because frankly, it's all
bullshit.
Every bit of it is bullshit. And I went through a few articles today and pulled out what the different arguments are. But then I found this video. It's Jim Sciutto on CNN who was debunking, fact-checking the disinformation and claims of fraud that Trump and his minions are pushing regarding the election. So let's get to debunking, shall we?
The president and his allies have unleashed a flood of false allegations and disinformation in the days after the election in a blatant attempt to undermine the results. So here are the facts.
Yeah.
Let's begin with a postal worker in Pennsylvania who claimed he was told by his supervisor to backdate mail-in ballots. The Washington Post now reports that the postal worker has now recanted that allegation, telling federal investigators the claims were not true and signing
Shocker.
An affidavit admitting that.
Speaking with sources today, you know, the kinds of words they used with me to describe that conversation was overly embellished or totally made up, these allegations.
Totally made up. We should note that since then, this postal worker has put out a video with the right-wing group Project Veritas in which he denies the allegations. However, we should also note it is a crime to lie to federal investigators, and his statement recanting his claim was under oath. All right, another false claim. That observers in Philadelphia were not granted access to witness the opening and sorting of ballots.
Yeah, that's
this
bullshit.
This is not true.
Nope.
In fact, a judge in Philadelphia decided the city's Board of Elections complied with the law in how it allowed both campaigns proper access to the canvassing process.
Yep.
Next example. The president's supporters are circulating a list which claims to show cases of ballots in the state of Michigan being cast in the names of dead people. The origins of this list are unknown, but our colleagues at CNN, they looked into 50 of the names on that list. Here's what they found. 37 of the people listed are indeed dead, but they did not vote.
Uh-oh.
5 of them are alive and voted legally, according to public records, and 8 are alive and did not vote. More broadly, note this. The Department of Homeland Security, run, we should note, by Trump appointees, yesterday debunked rumors of dead people casting ballots in this election, saying that there are a number of voting integrity measures already in place to protect against that very type of ballot fraud.
Amazing.
Finally, President Trump has made unfounded allegations of so-called secret ballots that he claims suddenly appeared on election night, all of them voting for President-elect Biden. This, too, is false. Different states counted ballots at different speeds, but there is no reason to claim any results were withheld or secret. In many cases, mail-in ballots skewed heavily towards the Democratic ticket, and fact is, those ballots were often counted later in the process. There were no secret ballots and no suspicious late vote counts.
Yeah.
We're keeping an eye on all of this for you and keeping to the facts.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, Donald Trump lies. The Republican Party, such as it is today, lies for him. They have no respect for the American people. And what's really sickening is how these idiots in the Senate they have his back. You know why they have his back? Because 72 million Americans buy his con man act. 72 million Americans voted for him. It makes no sense at all. None whatsoever. All right. I have other stuff, but you know what? The clock is ticking and it's telling me that we need to get Howie Klein on the line. And you know what? There's a silver lining, I guess, with everything. And they voted. I don't know how they vote on leadership for the next Congress when the people, some new members, have not been able to vote. But they did. And Chuck Schumer will remain the Senate Democratic leader. And I purposely didn't say minority leader, because if we vote for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, or we, you guys who live in Georgia, and they win those Senate races, Election Day, January 5th, then we get control of the Senate. It's imperative. It's so important. And as much as I'm not thrilled with Chucky Schmucky being the Democratic leader in the Senate, I'd rather have him be the majority leader than the minority leader, if you know what I mean. All right. Howie Klein's next.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey. So, you know, yesterday, I guess they voted, the Democratic Senate voted on their leadership for the next Congress. I thought they always waited until the new Congress began before they did that.
I mean, how do the new members vote?
Exactly.
Maybe they do vote. Maybe the new members do vote.
Oh, in this, you know, before they're actually sworn in, perhaps. I was surprised, but the good news is we don't have to redo the intro for the Chucky Schmucky Hour. So we got that going for us. And the bad news is we're stuck with Chuck Schumer again, but, you know, such as it is. So, Howie, I got to ask you, earlier today you tweeted something. And you said that I'm having a crazy day, like I bit off more than I could chew, let alone digest. What was going on?
Oh, it's just my mishigas. It's nothing else.
No, okay.
I'm moving my blog to a different platform.
Oh,
and it takes a huge amount of work and hours and hours and hours of time, and at the same time I'm trying to keep up with my 6 posts a day. So I'm working on the 6 posts a day, still talking with candidates and prospective candidates on the phone, and putting hours and hours into this new platform that I had never even heard of before, trying to learn it, how to do it, you know, and all the things around it, and making sure that Blue America, for example, you know, stays usable on the new platform.
And, uh-huh.
You know, it's just you know, it's a lot of things that just have to be done, and that's why I tweeted that. But the good news of that particular tweet was that I still managed to bake a pie.
I saw that, and it looks papaya and blueberry. Wow, that's interesting.
Papaya blueberry pie that when it came out of the oven, the whole house was just like filled with this amazing smells. I mean, totally delicious. Like, you know, the smells of cinnamon and nutmeg and lemon, all these like delicious, delicious smells, and, you know, making my mouth water.
Yeah.
And these pies, you can't just, you know, get it out of the oven and eat it, even though I know that a lot of people think that's the way to do it. It isn't. The pie is much, much better once it settles for a day. So, I mean, if it was just up to me, we wouldn't need it tonight for dessert.
That would be dinner.
And Rowan isn't going to take no for an answer on that one.
The only thing that would make it better, though, so you're saying let it cool down, chill it, and then pull it out with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it.
Yeah, you could do that.
Or if we're being vegan, I have discovered nice cream. Do you make nice cream?
I don't, but there's like so many different kinds of vegan ice cream available here, and you know, also sugar-free vegan ice cream, that we always use that.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you, it's the simplest thing. You get a few very ripe bananas, and
you freeze them.
You cut them up into small chunks and you freeze them. Then you steam up a sweet potato. And you mash it up so it's just creamy, and you freeze that. And then you combine the sweet potato mash with the frozen banana in the food processor, and you mash it up until it's just the right consistency. It is, with a little bit of peanut butter, oh my God, it is so good.
So I have made that banana, frozen banana-based ice cream many times. I've never done it with sweet potato, but it makes sense to do it with sweet potato. In fact, I usually use sweet potato when I make bread or a cake because it has to keep that, whatever you make, moist.
Right.
So I love working with those with sweet potatoes. I always keep a lot of purple sweet potatoes around the house just for that.
Purple sweet potato. I made a chili with a purple sweet potato with purple sweet potatoes once. I haven't had them recently. Anyway, here we are talking food, and maybe it's because I don't want to talk about how the Democrats just blew it. It's amazing that they can bring out 77 million people to vote for the Democratic presidential nominee, and they wind up losing seats in the House and not taking back the Senate. This is something that, again, it's like only the Democrats have the talent to do that.
Yes, and they're going to vote again on next week on the new DCCC. Democratic campaign, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee,
right.
And they're the ones who just spent about $400 million. Like, think about $400 million. They just spent about $400 million and lost seats.
Yes,
the only seats they picked up, three seats. Two of them were given to them by a court that drew Democratic districts. So a court in North Carolina said the gerrymander is so outrageous and is so obviously meant to harm the representation of black people that we will redraw the map for you. So the court redrew the map and gave the Democrats two extra seats. So the Democrats won them. So, of course, you will hear in the coming weeks when the Democrats, the DCCC Democrats, are trying to make excuses for their miserable results.
Mm-hmm.
They will talk about these two seats as though they won them. And they were literally, they're like 80% Democratic seats now. I mean, there's no way to lose them. Although if there was a way, they would have found it. So that's two seats. And then one seat they legitimately won, which was a woman who ran last time, Carolyn Bordeaux, in the suburbs, which are quite blue.
Uh-huh.
Black.
Uh-huh.
But they're quite black and blue.
Right.
Suburbs north of Atlanta. So that's one seat that the Democrats won. It was an open seat because the Republican who was in there knew he had no shot anymore, and he retired. So Bordeaux won.
Okay, so
that's it.
Right.
Other than that, the Democrats lost so many seats, and I mean, right now I think it's seven or eight.
Yep.
And then there are others that haven't been called yet. Now, some of the ones that haven't been called, the Democrats are going to win. I mean, just as an example, Tom Suozzi is in Nassau County,
Long Island.
They haven't gotten to his vote yet.
Wow.
The North Shore of Long Island, and they just haven't counted them. But Biden won that district handily, and Suozzi has on the count that they've done, Suozzi is doing better than that. So he's definitely going to win his seat back. So that's one example. But on the South Shore of Long Island, where it was Peter King's open seat, he decided to retire. The Democrats nominated just a miserable blue dog. They couldn't have found a worse candidate. Everything about this candidate was wrong, and she lost. They haven't announced it yet, but she has no way to win that seat.
So how?
On top of that, there are incumbents who are losing and or have lost and can't make it up. The hole is so deep for Anthony Brindisi, who's one of the chairs of the Blue Dogs,
right.
And for another Blue Dog in Staten Island, Max Rose, that you know, even though like around 70-80% of the votes are counted in their districts, they're so far behind that they're not going to be able to make that up. So, you know, these are seats that they won in 2018. I figured they'd lose these seats in 2022, but they lost them in 2020, one term. And let me tell you something, Nicole, and I've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
These people like Max Rose and Anthony Brindisi, we're better off without them, particularly Anthony Brindisi. Anthony Brindisi is a whiny crybaby who would constantly you know, because Pelosi allowed, all the big caucuses to send someone to her leadership meeting. Mm-hmm. So he was in all the leadership meetings. And any time anything was remotely, not even remotely, smacked of progressivism, he would get up and start crying and whining. And what are you trying to make me lose my seat? You can't do it. And nonstop, to the point where several Democrats told me that they hoped he would lose.
Wow.
Which he... Yes, but I mean, Democrats don't want any Democrat to lose. This is the only time in my life I've ever heard of this, where Democrats are telling me they hoped he would lose just because he was able to do things that a Republican could never do. A Republican, if they're in the minority and they vote against you, okay, they vote against you. That's what Republicans do. But this guy, not only did he vote against us, about 80% of the time he voted against us. But on top of that, he was always inside watering down the bills before we even right. came out with them. Before there was even anything to vote on, he would be in there saying, you know, you have to take this out. You have to take that out. If you don't take this out, I'm going to lose my seat. If you don't take that out, Kendra Horne is going to lose her seat. If you don't take that out, you know, this one and that one, and they'll lose their seats. And they all lost their seats anyway.
Uh-huh.
But they hamper the Democratic Party from being the Democratic Party. They keep the brand muddied and filthy so that people don't even know what the hell it is. Marco Rubio, I don't know if you saw this or not, said yesterday that the goal of the Republican Party now should be to win over working class voters. He said that's how you will win elections, by solidifying Trump's hold on the working class. Now, he looks at it a little bit differently, perhaps, than we do, but it's still, what he's saying is very, very dangerous, because the Democratic Party has loosened its hold on the working class because of these blue dogs and New Dems, and because people who, you know, the founder of the New Dems, Bill Clinton, decided to go after the Wall Street crowd. We're stuck in a situation now where working class doesn't even know that the Democrats are their friends.
Right.
And you take someone like Pelosi or Hoyer, who've been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they can't imagine that working class people don't think that the Democrats are their friends. They literally don't. They don't understand that.
No, they don't know.
Doesn't compute.
Right. They don't know the history of the labor movement. They don't know how unions were born. They don't know how unions were the backbone of America. And because unions have been vilified so much, it's an interesting discussion going on now that Bernie Sanders really wants to be Biden's labor secretary. And he'd be great. The problem is that Vermont has a Republican governor. And if Biden appoints Bernie to be labor secretary, or for that matter, Elizabeth Warren to be treasury secretary, number one, they'd never make it through the Republican Senate. But number two, the Republican governors of Vermont and Massachusetts would get to pick their replacements.
Right. I don't think that Biden has any intention of having either one of them in his cabinet. And I don't know how good it would be for him to have either of them to be in his cabinet. Maybe Elizabeth Warren, because maybe. But, you know, Bernie is way more, both of them are very, very valuable where they are in the Senate.
I agree.
We don't need two more Republican senators, as you said, appointed.
Yep.
And the other thing that would be a nightmare is that we would have Bernie would be working for Biden.
Yeah.
It's not the
other way around.
If you're in the cabinet, you've got a boss. You've got to go along with him. I just think it was a terrible idea. I'm sure I haven't talked with Bernie about it, and I don't know what he's thinking. And he's a smart guy, and he must be thinking something.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't figured out what the hell is in it for him. And when I say in it for him, I know how he thinks that he's looking for what could be in it for the American people.
Sure.
But I don't see what could be in it. Biden makes the decisions. The secretary of the secretaries don't.
Right. No, of course not. They have to follow the marching orders. They're there to carry out what the president wants. Hey, Howie Klein, let me ask you this. Back to the Congress for a moment, because it was an interesting phenomenon. Remember, you know, back in 2018, a lot of Democrats were swept into office, but as you like to point out, many of them were blue dogs. Were blue dogs and new Dems, and every one of those lost. And AOC pointed out.
No, some of them didn't lose yet. They will lose. But the ones who lost were new blue dogs and new Dems.
Right.
And
the progressives
and
won.
No progressives lost. Only blue dogs and new Dems lost.
Right.
No,
nobody who ran on a Medicare for all platform, progressives lost. And that, you know, that says so much. And then you'll look at Sherry Bustos, who was the head of the DCCC, who just eked out a victory. She almost lost her seat, and now she says she's stepping down as chair of the DCCC, which is why you said they're going to, you know, replace her. She had an abysmal track record, and Nancy Pelosi goes on saying, "Oh, we had a very we won, we did great."
Well, they won those two seats in North Carolina.
that's what they did. They almost lost control of the House. I mean, this is the slimmest majority that they've had in decades. And Nancy Pelosi expects to just waltz right in as a speaker again. Is anybody going to challenge her?
Yeah, no. I mean, yes. I mean, you know, there'll be some challenges that'll get two votes here and three votes there. But a serious challenge? I just cannot see it. I can't even see the progressives putting up somebody to replace Bustos, even though they see how important it is. I've spoken to a dozen of them. I spoke to 11 of them, so almost a dozen of them. And I begged them, one after the other, to run for DCCC chair. Yeah. And every one of them said, no, they won't do it. They all had their reasons. Some of the reasons were good. Some of them were spurious. But no one will do it. So we're going to be stuck with another Cherry Bustos.
Oh,
it won't
God.
Be her, but it'll be someone equally horrible. Tony Cardenas, you know, one of the most corrupt men in Congress, in Congress, who also likes to rape young underage girls.
Oh, nice.
We have he's running. Ugh. Sean Patrick Maloney, who is a really slick guy that people kind of like because he's so slick and he's a real ass kisser. But he does his fundraising not out of the DCCC like everybody else does. He does his fundraising out of a hedge fund company that he's close with.
Wow.
This guy is owned by Wall Street. He's awful. And guess what? His race isn't called yet. I'm sure he's going to win, but it's too close to call. But I feel confident he's going to win. I don't want to give anybody any hopes that this horrible New Dem is going to lose his seat. He will win, but he hasn't won yet, and he's already next week is the election for the DCCC.
Right.
Can you imagine if he's not, the race still isn't called, and he runs and wins. And then he loses his seat. So he's the chairman of the DCCC without even being in Congress, which is possible, I guess.
It is. Yeah, the chairman of the DCCC does not have to be a member of Congress, nor does the Speaker of the House.
Oh, I didn't realize the Speaker could not be a member.
Anybody can be nominated. You do not have to be a member of Congress to be the Speaker of the House. Not that they've ever elected anybody as speaker who wasn't a member of Congress, but there have been a couple of years when they do the nominations that a few names have been thrown out who was like, what? Where'd that come from? Yeah, you don't have
right.
to
be. Yeah. I thought it was just like, you know, them just being a smartass. No. I didn't realize they could actually do that. But I remember, you know, some right-wing Democrat nominated, I don't know, someone like Martin Luther King or something.
Right.
It wasn't Martin Luther King, but it was a really very, very prominent civil rights activist, and they nominated him. And I thought, what? It's not in Congress. Why are you doing that? What is that about? But I didn't realize that you could be a speaker and not be in Congress.
Yes, I don't think it's ever happened, but technically you can. So, Howie Klein, I've got a few articles. As bad as things were nationally for the Democrats here in Florida, there's a reason I call it Florida. I have this Miami Herald article. Headline reads, Democrats need to flip 3 Senate seats to share power. And then
That's an old one.
Right. The subtitle says, Florida Democrats need to win 3 seats to get parity in the state Senate. Here's why they're working to flip 2 in the election. They didn't even try. A story today pops up.
Didn't even win the two.
They put up in the Florida Senate, dummy candidates who were there just to be spoilers. Did you hear about this?
I didn't hear that the Democrats put them up.
Yeah. I don't know.
But they were supposed to be spoil. They were supposed to spoil the chance of a Democrat to win.
Yeah.
And why did the Democratic Party put them up?
I don't know. I don't know that the Democratic Party put them up. Somebody put them up. These are people who one man was like 80.
That's a Florida thing.
Yeah.
Florida Dems and Florida Republicans always do that. I mean, I first heard about it, 15 years ago when Debbie Wasserman Schultz got caught doing it. She would always constantly do it. She would recruit people from anywhere in the state to run in Miami-Dade with the purpose of protecting her Republican friends. So in other words, she would recruit so-called Democrats from Tampa, say.
Yeah.
This is a real story. She recruited a Democrat from Tampa to run. After that, and everyone saw, well, you know, there's a candidate running, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz is supporting that candidate. I'll back out. And no one would run, and then that candidate would disappear. And, her, you know, one of her pals, a Diaz-Balart
Ileana Ross-Lehtinen. Right.
They would have no competition, and they were in blue trending districts.
And now the woman who won Ileana's seat, Debbie Mercassell Powell, lost. And Donna Shalala.
Remember, that's a D plus six district.
Right.
D plus six.
And Donna Shalala lost to
D
South
Florida.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then, you know, this Florida State Senate thing is really crooked. There's a story that was on a local news channel that I pulled, but honestly, it's too long. I don't want to play it now because it's going to eat up all our time. But I'm going to send you a link to the story because it's just mind blowing. So, you know, I don't have any hope for Florida. I told you that I ran to be a precinct committee person, and supposedly a lot of progressives did. So we go in now that the election's over. We have 4-year terms. So for the next 4 years, and allegedly we're going to be organizing to, you know, get some progressive power here in Florida. The problem is the guy who got me to do this, Mitchell Stolberg, died. He was like the ringleader, and he died before he had a chance to see this all come to fruition. In fact, he died before I found out that I won my race. I was unopposed. So we're sort of rudderless because, a lot of us were recruited by him to be part of this, to try to turn Florida's, you know, Democratic Party a little more progressive. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. I hope somebody picks up the lead here because we need it.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the three biggest chapters of the Florida College Democrats came out calling for the resignation of Terry Rizzo,
good,
the chairman of the party, and Juan Peñalosa, the executive director of the party, and blaming how badly Florida Democrats did on the two of them. And rightfully so. And the statement is real interesting. I have the statement on my blog. Anyone who wants to read it can go there. You just have to click on it, and then it'll get big enough to read.
Okay, downwithtyranny.com, of course. Yeah, and if Florida, it's just seeing those two seats in Miami that should have been bright blue go back to the Republic. It's just, there's no excuse for that. And the whole, you know, the socialism scare. God, did we talked about this? You know, people were going, oh, Bernie can't get the nomination because they're going to call him a socialist. And I said very clearly, if Biden wins, they will call him a socialist too. And they did. And apparently it worked down here. I can't tell you how many letters to the editor and the local papers, the whole Cuban community, they're like, he's a Marxist. He's a communist. He's a, oh my God, we need to educate the American people. It's insane.
Don't leave out the Venezuelan community. They have a lot
too
to do with this.
Yep, them too. And there's a huge Venezuelan community, actually, that's in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district, a town called Weston. And they don't understand that the type of democratic socialism that Bernie Sanders talks about has nothing to do with Castro.
Like.
Yes, exactly.
It's the kind that supports them, that they love.
Right.
They love those goodies. They just don't like the name socialism.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Howie Klein. It gets so frustrating. When you are watching the returns come in and seeing, I mean, how do you account for, do you think a lot of just Republicans voted for Biden who didn't want Trump, and they split their vote so that it would be a split, a divided Congress. I don't know how this happened.
Yes, some did that. But remember, we had a huge turnout. The Democrats had a huge turnout, but so did the Republicans.
Yeah.
And in Florida, I don't know the exact number. Again, I wrote about it. It's on my blog. But over a million Republicans who didn't vote for Trump in 2016, a million voters who didn't vote for Trump, came out and voted for Trump. So, something like three-quarters of a million, about 750,000, came out and more for Biden than for Hillary. So, yes, the Democrats, that would have been great, except that Trump did better.
Yeah. That's where the disconnect comes in. I still just don't understand how 72 million people could vote for that man. I guess I'm a bad judge of...
I can't understand how 75 or 6 or 7 million people could vote for Biden.
Well, I can, in that I did, and I was voting against Donald Trump. I would have voted for my dog Jackson over Donald Trump.
What I'm saying is that you can't understand why the Republicans can't understand why people, you can't understand why. don't understand each other.
No, we don't.
The Republicans don't understand the Democrats, and the Democrats don't understand the Republicans.
But it's not even just the, Democrat Republican. This man is a pathological liar. He's a sociopath. He's a.
They say the same thing about Biden.
Wow.
Anything that you want to say about Trump, they'll say the same thing about Biden with something equal.
And that's...
You want to talk about Trump's corrupt family?
Oh, God.
You want to talk about swamp? How about the swamp? Trump is the worst swampy president in history. What did Biden do today? He's handing out waivers to lobbyists, including, I noticed, one from British Petroleum. So they could be part of his transition team and then part of his administration.
I don't want to hear that. Okay.
He hasn't even sworn in yet, and he's already, showing what he is. And I never doubted that this is what he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my friends, like you, voted for him, some knowing that he would be this way, some not knowing. And, I always said, this is what he's going to be. We got to defeat Trump, but, mm-hmm. Know what you're getting.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it goes back to the lesser of two evils thing. And I don't know. I'm kind of resigning myself to the fact that I may never have, a president that I love in my lifetime. It's out of reach for me.
How many of my friends are convincing themselves that they love Biden now? Are you feeling that too? Do you get that, any of that vibe?
No.
From people?
No, but they appreciate, as do I, frankly, that there's an adult in charge again, that somebody, look, I fly off the handle. I hear, the shit that Trump is saying about the election and its fraud and, he's not giving him, allowing the transition to begin. I want to scream and shout. And Biden's like, it's okay. We'll be fine. Let it play out. Come January 20th, we'll be sworn in, and this will all be over. I mean, I appreciate the serenity, the calmness, the adult in the room, because we haven't had that in a while. But other than that, no, I'm frustrated. Seeing, some of the names that are being floated around for the cabinet are really frightening.
Right, and the ones who are going to wind up being in the cabinet and are not going to be Bernie and Elizabeth, they're going to be the really bad names that are floating around, the Rahm Emanuels, whether it's
someone I understand.
That kind of person.
Right. I understand that Rahm and Joe are not fans of each other, so that's a good thing.
Thank God.
Yeah, no kidding, because if Rahm Emanuel were in the administration, that would be really bad. I don't want to see him again.
They're just as bad as him. There are plenty who are just as bad as him who will get in. And even when they're not like major criminals like Rahm, he's looking at, the worst of us.
Yeah.
Always the bad ones. What's her name from North Dakota? Heidi
Heitkamp. Yeah, she's being talked about. Yeah, I know. And, John Kasich, he's bound and determined to put a Republican on his cabinet.
Oh, take my word. There will be more than one Republican.
I know. because...
I mean, all of these lists of who the cabinet members are going to be left off a whole, like, three or four positions that they don't want out there. Those are all going to be Republican positions.
Oh, God. All right. Well...
worse of some of that stuff.
All right. Now you're depressing me. All right. I'm going to go eat. Because that's what we do when we're depressed.
Healthy. Eat healthy. No sugar.
No. We're having a hummus. It's not really pizza. All right, we already blew past the end of the show, so Progressive Voices is gone. It's on a tortilla, a flour tortilla, coated with hummus, my homemade hummus, which is so good. And then there's sweet potato, there's carrots, there's broccoli, there's red peppers, and something else I'm forgetting. Oh, peas mixed into the hummus. It is so good. I hate to call it pizza because it's not really pizza, but it looks, you know, sort of like a tortilla pizza. But anyway.
Oh, it sounds good. And you don't put any of that that cashew cheese on it?
No. This is not with that. I'll send you this recipe. We got it in a magazine or something. And it's so good. And it's easy, so we have it all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll send you this recipe and I'll post it on my recipe page at NicoleSandler.com that I haven't updated lately because I've been painting. Did you know I've been painting?
You mentioned it last week and I thought, wow, that's wonderful.
I've been prolific. I'll send you some of my pictures.
Great.
It's pandemic pastimes. I don't know.
Is it abstract stuff?
No, I'm doing a lot of like seascapes and gardens and things like that. I won't even try people or animals because I don't have that talent. But I'm doing okay with the waves and the beach and the trees and the flowers and stuff like that. Sunsets. Yeah. So just keeping busy and trying to keep my mind off of politics a little bit. Anyway, Howie Klein, when's the move? When's your blog moving?
I'm aiming for early next week.
Oh, okay.
I would like to say Monday, but I don't know. It's just like I said, it takes big chunks of hours to get this right.
Yep.
And I'm technologically deficient anyway, so it's not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
I hear you. Well, good luck with that. Keep me posted.
I have a feeling it looks beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at it every day, and I'm thinking, wow, this is so beautiful. It's just so nice. I love it.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Modern and, but you know, it takes a lot of work.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Well, I look forward to seeing the new one. Like Digby moved hers, so you're moving down with Tyranny. It'll still be down with tyranny.com, right?
Of course, absolutely. And in fact, you know how hard it always is to tell people to go to Blue America?
Yes.
You know, now it's, you know what it's going to be now?
It's going to have a page?
BlueAmericaPack.com.
Yes! Oh, you so
yes.
have needed
now,
that.
It's not there yet. It's not there yet.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but it will be soon.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it. If you need any help, no, I'm not that I'm great at web stuff, but I'm happy to help if I can. Howie Klein.
I have a tech guy who's helping.
Oh, good. You're better off than having me help because this is how I do everything here with spit and bubble gum and, you know, paper clips. So anyway, Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, the old or soon to be the new. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Tomorrow on the program, Thomas Frank will be here. He was supposed to be here last Wednesday, right, the day after the election for my birthday, and he got a flight delayed and couldn't make it. So he will be here tomorrow. Should be a fascinating conversation because I love him. Thomas Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas and The Wrecking Crew, and you and his most recent one, The People Know, which I thought was here. Anyway, until then, have fun. Paint, cook, eat. Take your mind off of politics. There's nothing we can do about it right now, unless you're in Georgia, in which case, organize and vote. All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye.